So one of the things that we talked about earlier was that these are privileges that the tenants are asking for. They are concessions that the landlord is giving to tenants. And a lot of these, they give the tenants more flexibility. That's kind of what's being negotiated here, although we'll talk about one circumstance toward the end if we have time where the landlord is getting a concession on the right to relocate. So what are some of the things that the tenants are looking for? Well, one thing that on its face, clients seem to gravitate toward almost immediately every time. As, well, wait a minute, why don't I just have shorter terms and more options in my lease? I mean, in the perfect world, why don't I, instead of a 10-year lease, why don't I have a 1-year lease with 9 options? Because that way I've got as much flexibility as I need every year to decide where I'm going to go with this particular lease, which on its face may have some appeal. But we all recognize that there are real issues for the landlord and potentially the tenant if you go down that path. For instance, the shorter term might give the tenant the appearance of more flexibility, but the landlord is going to view that lease as being much less valuable, maybe even non-financeable in the context of the real estate, and so somewhere or another it's going to cost the tenant some money in that regard. Also, we all recognize that finish out, when it's done in connection with lease transactions, is embedded into the lease. There's a financing component in every lease where your rent is for the use of the property, but also that the landlord's giving you tenant finish out dollars. They're figuring out a way to stick those tenant finish out dollars in your rent and amortize it as a part of the rental payment, right? So the shorter your lease term, the shorter the time period the landlord can rely upon your rent coming in when they make that investment, right? The quicker the amortization is going to be, which means the higher your rent's going to have to be to amortize that. Or in the alternative, the landlord's going to simply say, well, I can't give you much in the way of tenant finish out if you're only committing to this thing for 1 year. So it's kind of an illusory type arrangement. I did kind of hyperbolistically speak in terms of a series of 1 year leases. But this could also apply if someone said, you know, do I want a 5-year lease or a 10-year lease? And how will that impact the dynamics of what we're looking at? It also, of course, gives the landlord the opportunity to possibly renegotiate the lease on much shorter term basis, unless you've got an option that kind of locks in what those terms will be. But if it's a market rate type option as it rolls over, it means you're going to be rolling with the market if you're the tenant. And that may not be a particularly good place to be if you're in a dynamic real estate market where rents are constantly going up. Let's talk about contractions of space.
All right. Well, a contraction of space is basically a partial termination. And I think Candace pretty well covered terminations of the entire lease, but we'll cover these partial terminations. And in partial terminations, the issues get a lot more complex than entire terminations, because this is basically creating an entire new construction process, essentially. So it'll often require construction of new walls, reconfiguration of the premises, modification of building systems, and all of that's going to require a lot of planning, approval processes, maybe a whole new work letter that goes along with the exercise of this right. So your termination provision or your work letter that you do along there with will need to include basically all the provisions of the construction process, and who's going to carry out what tasks and during what time frames. And your termination provision is also going to really clearly define what portion of the space is going to be surrendered along with the partial termination. And the landlord needs to pay particular attention to that space and make sure that space that's surrendered is going to be able to be released. And that it isn't a super awkward space that creates like a checkerboard effect, is Frank's language, or just be otherwise unleaseable.
There's also an interesting dynamic that takes place in a contraction when you are contracting from a full floor to a partial floor, or from an area that is where there's not shared common area, where you contain, you're operating your lease in the entire premises, and now it's going to be multi-tenant, and now there is common area that you have to anticipate. If you're going to allow a contraction right to take place, you have to anticipate the impact of that when it occurs. Because when you negotiate the lease, you're going to be addressing these issues up front, right? So when the lease converts to this multi-tenant type floor from one where it's entirely used by one person, there are going to be springing common areas that simply come out of this relationship. Before, if you had the entire floor, typically, in an office lease type of arrangement, or maybe in a retail if you had the entire building. The common elements like restrooms and things like that were in your lease premise. They were part of it. There wasn't a load factor for the floor. You had it all as part of your lease. You were responsible for the entire floor, which included restrooms and hallways and your own space and things like that. Now you're on a multi-tenant floor, in a multi-tenant environment. And so a couple of things happen. First, the landlord has to anticipate when the contraction occurs how that's going to recalibrate within the lease to deal with the common area elements and the sharing ratios or the load factor as it relates to the now redefined smaller space, right? So that's one of the things you're going to have to do. Secondly, there's going to be a cost associated with the conversion of these spaces within what was one space to now multi-tenant space, and it is not an insignificant cost. One of the speakers earlier referenced the fact that it was upwards of $400,000 just to do corridors and bathrooms on a single floor in an office building. I can attest to the fact I just went through one within the last 6 months. That was exactly the same number in our case. It was $400,000 to the landlord in that case to convert the floor from a single tenant space to a multi-tenant environment. Now, anticipating that up front, anticipating that cost up front when the contraction is going to take place becomes very important to the economics of that election that you might be providing.